You're listening to a very special Longbox Crusade episode, the 12 Days of Crusademas 2023. Shadowhawks Hawking. Hello and welcome to the 12th and final installment of the 12 Days of Crusademas for 2023, brought to you by the Longbox Crusade. The 12 Days of Crusademas is our gift to the comic-loving podcast community to celebrate the holiday season. And we have been celebrating this joyous season by sharing with you some often overlooked comic book titles that may have gotten by you in the past. Each day of the 12 Days of Crusademas for 2023, we have brought you a hidden gem of a comic series, brought to you either by one of our jingling all the way co-hosts or one of our podcast celebrity guests, until we get all the way to today. Woo! Do you guys know what today is? I know I woke you up super early. It's super early. I'm like, come on, everybody, it's today is the day. It's the big day.
Oh, I just want to sleep in.
No, it's the big day. We had to get downstairs. Santa's here. It's December 25th. It's Christmas Day. Woo! I'm so happy that it's Christmas Day. Are you guys happy?
I'm happy.
Absolutely. Merry Christmas, Pat.
Ecstatic.
Merry Christmas. Speaking about the 12th day and being holly and jolly, I want to tell you about one more Christmas joke before we go, since I have the microphone right now. We'll just get the final and 12th day joke out of the way, and then we'll let everybody
do it. This is not going to be the final joke, because I got one right behind you.
Yeah, well, I know, but we got bits and bits. That way, you know, I'm preparing for a better bit down the road. So that's what I do. I'm a setup guy. So on the 12th day of Christmas, the true love always gives 12 drummers drumming, right? So why did the drummer
get yes, that's correct, Pat. Yeah,
okay, thank you, Delvin. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I know it's early in the morning. I woke you up super early. So we're all sitting around here, hopefully having some hot cocoa, coffee, whatever. We got some fun, having some fun along the way here. So why did the drummer get a ticket? Any takers? No?
I don't know.
It's because he got caught beating his bass in a no drumming zone.
You got caught beating what now?
Is this a Pat GPT thing?
They all have.
Dang it.
You know, I'm not worried about AI taking over there.
It's going to get a lot better. So maybe for Christmas next year.
They'll get everything but the comedy market, apparently.
I mean, they're at the floor now. So you're right. It's no choice.
Now that it's Christmas Day, we've got the fun out of the way. Well, there's still some more fun to come, but we're all kind of settled in here. Let's go ahead and introduce everybody that's here around this nice crisp fire we got going around. The lights on the tree are here. I think I hear snow falling on the ground outside. It's just a beautiful, beautiful morning. So Merry Christmas, everybody out there. Merry Christmas. I hope you're having a beautiful Christmas day. And here to share it with you is one of the holly jolly jingling elves we have, Jarrett the Christmas Probe. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, man. Yesterday on Christmas Eve, I went to the park and they had Christmas doves that I took all the doves and I arranged them by size. And then I had a little pin of Christmas reindeer and I went and I got those guys and I arranged them all by size. They had Christmas bunnies and I got them and I arranged them all by size. And the cops came and said, you can't do that in the park because apparently they don't like me criticizing.
Oh, yeah.
Save that one for day 12, just so you guys know.
So it was like a no drumming zone.
Come on, no criticizing.
I'm not.
I told it to my 9-year-old today just to run it by him, and he did not like it either. He was like, come on, Dad.
Come on. Ooh, you're getting even bad. Yeah,
the 9-year-old was a no-go.
Oh, well. All right, well, let's go ahead and get to the next person sitting here by the fireplace with some hot cocoa in hand, possibly a candy cane or two, And he's got a stocking that I've been handing out with everybody for bits and bits and bits for today. So go ahead and feel free to use those bits. I'm setting them up for you. You can do with them what you want. So we'll say Merry Christmas to the Wreathel Skull. Jason, Wreathel
Skull. Are you trying to say Wreathel Skull? Are you trying to say Wreathel Skull?
Yes, I am. I'm trying to say that. You know how hard.
Yeah, got it. The messed up part is I knew immediately. Like, I speak Pat now.
I was struggling on that one. Well, I would love to do some bits, but you know, it's Christmas Day. It's Christmas party after the show. So final check in with MJ. MJ, is everything squared away? Are we ready to go?
Oh, it's Christmas time. It's Christmas time. Christmas time, boys. It's a Christmas time. Oh my goodness, you guys pulled it on together. Pat, the lights look great. Trees up, looking good. Jared, I saw all the legal forms are printed out in triplicate and notarized. Delvin, chocolate fountain, looking good. Looking good. And the chocolate fountain's looking good too. So we're ready to go. We got the present set up. I think we're ready for the guest. I'm so excited.
All right, Mary Jane, now you went a little over budget last year, as you recall, so we kept it in the agreed-upon range.
More or less.
Well, is it more or is it less?
You know.
Okay. I want to see, let me see the receipts. Oh, my.
How bad is it, Jason?
How many Patreon fans do we have?
39, I think, right now.
I think we need about 200 more.
All right, you heard it here, folks. Patreon.com/LongLifeCrusade. Hashtag get us out of MJ debt.
MJ, before you go, thank you for all the help that you've done. It is most appreciated. And we're looking forward to having a good time later on with the party and then the New Year's Eve party coming on pretty soon.
Oh, welcome. Yeah. I'm not going to miss that. You know that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know that. I know that.
MJ still thinks it's the 90s. So she actually booked the band, the Gin Blossoms, to play party and blew our budget.
I'm fine with that, you know. I'm fine with the Gin Blossoms.
Yeah. Delvin, hit me with a Gin Blossoms song. I found out about you. There we go.
There you go.
Hey,
jealousy. See? Hey, $40,000 getting it back together and coming to do our show.
You know, once again, thank you, Mary Jane. All right, well, joining us is Delvin, the Winter Web himself. Merry Christmas, Delvin.
Merry Christmas, Pat. Merry Christmas, fellas. And I took extra special care with the book that we're reading to not step on any cracks when I came here because my mom would not be happy.
No.
No. Mm-hmm. Not at all. Mm-hmm. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you as well. So you probably guys are wondering, you know, yeah, it's Christmas Day. I got you guys all up early, made you read something. So why don't I find out what I have besides the bits and bits in the stocking? Perhaps you want to know what else I have wrapped up in the stocking.
I'd like to know.
Well, I already know because I read it, but yeah, I want to know too.
I'd like to know because I didn't.
Ah, I know. I figured that as well too. So as you've heard in the singing intro, today is 12 Shadowhawks Hawking. Which means we're unwrapping Shadowhawk number 1 from August 1992, published by Image Comics.
Pat, hand that over here so I can start reading it.
Okay.
While you do your thing. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Don't bend it, Jared, because that's number 1 and it's got that high cool looking cover on it. It's
probably going to be worth thousands.
It will be.
Might need some bubble gum later.
Yeah. Well, now that Jarrett is going to read the comic, I will tell him a little bit about this series and the creator. So Shadowhawk is a fictional anti-hero created by Jim Valentino. Shadowhawk was first advertised in the Malibu Sun free promotional magazine in May of 1992. Shadowhawk's first official Image Comics debut was in the second issue of Rob Liefeld's Youngblood series in June of 1992. So I didn't know if you guys knew that or not. That's when he appeared in that. So you have to go back, open up that one. That's a lot of money too. And you can see Shadowhawk in there. So originally the name Shadowhawk was to be used for Marvel's character Starhawk. It was supposed to be Starhawk while he had darkness powers.
Oh.
But Tom DeFalco convinced Valentino to use the name for a new character instead. So he instead used it for the Image comic Shadowhawk. And Jim Valentino was one of the original creators that moved to become part of the Image group. With that, Shadowhawk ran 18 issues plus a zero and a special issue along the way from August 1992 to May 1995. So you had Shadowhawk, which we're reading right now, one, and that was 1-4, and then another one, and then the ongoing series. So we're going to talk about today is Shadowhawk number one. The writer was Jim Valentino. Letterer was Diane Valentino. Colorist was Lorraine Kinzarski. Cover credits go to penciler Jim Valentino and inker Rob Liefeld did the cover. He inked the cover. So some of the reasons why I kind of like this book, love this book, pretty simple. It's the 90s, 1992. Big things are happening. Image Comics, lots of good stuff happening. You know, new number one issues are coming out left, right, everywhere you go with the Image stuff. So, you know, I'm just out of high school, got some money in my pocket, going jingling-a-ling, and all I want to do is, you know, spend that money on some stuff. So I'm buying the number ones that I can because, you know, I'm thinking I'm going to be rich. I'm not going to have to work. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be 50, and I'm not going to have to work. I'm going to have my kids are all going to be paid for. Christmas gifts for everyone and everyone. But, you know, here I am.
You know,
anyway, it was good times back then. And with all that was coming out, you had Jim Valentino with gorgeous artwork in this, really nice looking. And the mystery of who is the Shadowhawk to find out. So lots of fun, exciting things happening at this time. So I was digging this book because I wanted to know who is Shadowhawk. Have you guys read any Shadowhawk comics from Image before? We'll start with Jason.
No, I haven't. Like you, I got really excited when Image came out. I was all into the Wildcats. That was I was a big Jim Lee fan from the X-Men. And so I was really excited to see what he was going to come up with. But I never picked up a Shadowhawk comic. So first one for me.
Wow. Jared, is this the first read? Well, I'm assuming it is because you just read it.
Yeah, I just finished it. Much like Jason, I dipped a toe in just about all the original Image. You know, Spawn, Savage Dragon, Youngblood, the one Jason mentioned.
Wildcats.
Wildcats. Wildcats. Anyways, I dipped a toe in all those. I read at least a couple issues because, you know, like you said, at 92 was a flame, right? But
yeah.
I didn't even realize that Shadowhawk was like a thing until probably it was done as a run. And I was like, oh, there was another thing. And I think just because Jim Valentino wasn't as big of a creator name as the other guys were at the time.
Sure.
But he's got some talent, that's for sure. Oh, yeah. Short answer, Pat, yeah, this first go-round with Shadowhawk.
Delvin, have you read Shadowhawk?
If I have read Shadowhawk, I do not remember it. And if I have it in my collection, I possibly need to turn on a light because I couldn't find it.
You know, I think they did that. Yeah, one of the actual covers, they did do a glowing cover. So if you turn off the lights, kind of glows.
To the extreme. The mic like a vandal. They stage wax jump like a candle.
Dance.
Now my commitment. Jason, I can scramble for the mute button. He's like, I dance.
All right. Well, for today's episode, I asked the crew to read Shadowhawk number one. Again, just because it's got some good memories of getting this series at my local comic book store. This is one that I started to go to, and I went for quite a long time. So I have fond memories of doing that, too, especially during this big Image explosion that was happening on there. Again, wanted to know what Shadowhawk was. So for a quick summary of this particular issue, it was titled A Nightmare Walking. In the city, a mysterious vigilante named Shadowhawk is taking on criminals with brutal justice, leaving them paralyzed. Eyewitnesses describe Shadowhawk as a massive figure with glowing eyes. Meanwhile, former DA Paul Johnstone and his friend Hojo witness a building set on fire by the villain Arson. The Shadowhawk intervenes to confront drug dealers, threatening an elderly woman. A conflict arises between Jamie and the editor-in-chief Ted Tile over publishing a story about Shadowhawk. Arson is posing as a firefighter, threatens to bomb an office, while Shadowhawk faces off with the police in an attempt to escape. The central mystery surrounds the identity and the motivations of Shadowhawk, who takes the law into their own hands with violent tactics against criminals, all while the city grapples with their actions and the media debates Shadowhawk's exposure. So, all that being said, this was kind of a more darker, grittier kind of comic. So, Merry Christmas, everybody. What did you guys think of this issue? We'll go to Delvin.
I kind of wish it didn't go with me first, but I'm going to do the military thing here. The military thing, you give like a compliment, then you give like, you know, maybe the meat of it, which might not be so good, then you finish with a compliment. So the compliment is like, especially on the pages where Shadowhawk was on the splash pages, Jim Valentino's artwork was shown in its full glory. The middle part is, and I understand this is going to be harsh, so like brace yourself a little bit. I kind of hated it because it was just so over the top. Like,
yeah,
like I'm breaking the backs of every street thug I see. What? And I guess that what that told me is that I'm more of a, you know, the Batman type where, yeah, like I get it. Sometimes you do have to whoop a MF's A, but I'm going to show him he's going to be in a prison for the rest of his life. Like, okay. I got it.
This is 90s extreme.
And so that's going to be the other part of it, like the sandwich. I do understand that at this point, I hate to say this, the 90s are a timepiece. Like, we're it's 2023 now. It's a timepiece, and it absolutely, like, this is the kind of stuff that kind of resonated at the time, and it stemmed all from Batman 89. Batman 89 came out. He was dark. He was gritty. He kind of, you know, well, sometimes he beat up mofos, and every now and again, you know, he kind of killed some in the movies. So, like, Jared shishing me in the media. So, like, he didn't kill people in the movies. That's kind of what it's playing off of, especially when you had a comic book like Image and they wanted to make that impact of being in your face and stuff like that. So I do understand it. And I'll throw one more thing on the good pile of the mystery was at least intriguing. And I read a little bit of the letters page too. And there's like, you don't know enough yet to know who this is. Don't send us guesses. And I was like, what? of course I'm going to guess. I'm going to guess. Like, it's the dude who came running in panting and whatever. It's like, I think it's him automatically. I'm probably wrong, but I mean, that's who I thought it was. And that's what I would have been writing in as 15-year-old Delvin. It's like, it is that dude. You don't tell me to write in. I do what I want. I'm going to get my 25-cent postage stamp, and I'm mailing it in, and I'm telling you what for.
I'm getting 20 reverse guesses. Psychology was working on you, wasn't it?
It did. It did, especially at 15. It's like, you don't tell me what to do. I do what I want. I'm 15. So anyway, that's my whole wrap up. Wasn't the craziest about it, but I definitely understand the time frame that it came from. And Lord knows I brought enough 90s stuff to include Dark Hawk.
That you did. You know, I think that I have the really fonder memories of just all the hype around it and all that. And then when I started to read, I was like, oh, this was pretty brutal and just pretty, you know, out there. But in the mindset of the 90s, I thought it was pretty good. So with that, let's go ahead and talk to Jared.
Well, I finished reading it recently. I liked it overall. I do get what Delvin was saying. It gave me that same vibe, like Image Comics made its in a debut, and they wanted to let you know that this is not Marvel or DC. We're edgy and cool, right? And it kind of reminds me of like Netflix. When Netflix started doing shows, like especially like some Marvel shows, and they were like, we could do sex scenes now. We're going to throw a graphic sex scene. And you're watching it, you're like, why? Because we can. It's on Netflix. I had that same vibe, but like, we're going to get super gritty because we can, because we're not Marvel or DC anymore. But I'm not going to hold it against it. Like, they'll perhaps did. I was like, okay, they're going all in. I get it. Like, is it extreme? Yeah, it's extreme, but I don't know enough to know, but I feel like that's kind of the point. Like Shadowhawk is clearly too far. And I want to know who it is. I want to know why. So I also agree with Delvin. I think the mystery thing is really good. That is my favorite aspect of the book. And of course, Jim Valentino can draw quite a bit. You know, it's almost a shame that his name kind of falls off the hallowed halls of Image, and that his book, 18 issues or so, you know, and Spawn's still going to this day, and Savage Dragon's still going to this day. I don't know what happened to Youngblood and
Wildcats.
Wildcats.
There is some later Shadowhawk stuff out there.
I imagine. In the end, Pat, I did enjoy it. I felt like it was gloriously 90s. And like I said, the mystery really, that's what's going to help the Candy Canes, is I do want to know. I do want to know more. Mm-hmm. And that is the sign of a good book, is that you want to pick up the next one.
Definitely. Jason, finish us off here with your thoughts on this issue.
Overall, I think when we talk about Shadowhawk, we need to talk a little bit about the start of Image Comics, right? And I think there's a common theme that I saw in my reading of the early stuff in Image. Now, today, Image Comics has really great stories, really great artists. When they started, though, they had a lot of great artists, but they weren't necessarily the best writers nor the best editors. And so to me, it's a book like this that really shows why it takes a team to have a great comic. This is good. There's nothing bad about this. However, it's not great. It's more gimmick than there is substance in here, which is kind of on par with some of the 90s stuff that was put out at the time. There are a lot of things that I like. We talked about the mystery. Who is he or she? We don't know. Could be a man or a woman. The character of the arsonist, I really liked him. I thought that character was pretty well thought out. There's an arc. There's a mystery here. And the fact that he rescues the dog while he's still like burning all these buildings.
Part of him, yeah.
Yeah. So this is a character that there's a little bit of investment in, and I like that. The art is great. I think some of it suffers a little bit from that 90s art. The kinetic fighting sequences look a bit, you know, kind of like when you and your buddy are posing for a camera shot of we do with Ruth, you know, at the cons and stuff. Like,
oh, wait a minute. Those aren't posed. Those are real.
Okay. Shh. Peek behind the curtain. I was wondering if somebody like Norm Breyfogle had done a book like this, what that would look like. I thought that might have been a little bit more interesting style. But the rest of the art's really great. I'm looking at this panel where he's jumping through the glass, and it's, you know, you got shards of glass all coming out of the panel. So the style looks really slick. I like the night scenes with the cops. Visually, it's very, very good. So, yeah, I think that's a good place to wrap it up. Good book, not great, and really kind of, I think it's a good sample and a good, just kind of a good nugget of what happened to Image coming out of the gate with the core group of artists that started what turned out to be a wonderfully successful comic book industry that has great titles today. But some of their stuff was a little hit and miss.
Yeah, it is a good timepiece, I think, when you go back and kind of look at that stuff, just to see the progression of Image in its foundation, its growing pains that it's gone through, and like you said, Jason, where it is today. It's not the way the Image that it was before. Definitely not. And they've definitely had some success along the way. With that, let's now get into the ratings for this issue. See what you're interested in the series using the official Crusademus Candy Cane scale, only found here on the Lombax Crusade, on a scale of 1 to 12 candy canes. 12 meaning you were extremely interested, and 1 meaning you no interest at all. You didn't like it.
Backbreakingly bad.
Yeah. How many candy canes would you rate your interest in pursuing, you know, a little bit more of this title going forward? Jared, we'll start with you.
All right, man. I actually have a good amount of interest. Like this being like a, you know, quarter bin or 50 cent bin thing, I would definitely, especially that the first miniseries, I would definitely pick those up because I want to know who Shadowhawk ends up being. Here we are in 2023 and I don't know. So I have a genuine interest there. I don't know if they continue to dangle that carrot in front of people as the series went on or not. So I have a weird answer for once. I would say, as far as the mini series, the 1 through 4, I'm pretty strong on it. I'd say maybe 10 candy canes.
Oh, wow.
If I get the mystery review, because they also was very mysterious of who the pyromaniac guy was.
Yeah,
you want to know a little bit more. You never saw his face, so I'm intrigued. So I'm at a 10 for like the mini series. I don't know if I'd be so high for the full run. Like, I don't know how much more you get. Once they tell me who Shadowhawk is, I don't know if I need to know anymore. So that's kind of a weird answer, but let's make it a short answer. At 10, Pat, I want to know who Shadowhawk is. I want to know who the pyromaniac dude is.
Okay.
Who that pretty girl is that's sort of a power pulling.
What's strings. Happening with her?
Yeah. Enough intrigue that I'd go a 10 to get that miniseries.
Okay. Very good. Jason, how many candy canes?
Well, humor, I have to give it a 0. There wasn't anything really funny in this book. Heart, I'm going to give it a 2. Like I said, it's missing a bit on character development, but the mystery of who is Shadowhawk is enough to keep me interested. So 2 there. Spectacle, overall, it was pretty decent amount of spectacle. There was some, even though it might have been a little dark, a little heavy, a little cartoonish in some places, I'll still give spectacle a 2. In art, I'm going to give it a 2 as well. I can't quite go to full 3 for the reasons I talked about with the action elements. Some of the fight scenes just looked a little, I don't know, could have been rendered a little better, I think. But that's still 2, 4, 6. And of course, because it's you, Pat, I'm going to give it an extra 1. I'll give it 7. 7 candy canes for Shadowhawk.
All right. 7 for you. We got a 10. Delvin, high, lower, in the middle. Where are you going to be?
I'm going to be about in the middle. I'm going to go with a 6 on it. I'll elaborate just slightly on what I disliked. And it was only because, like, I felt like that level of justice was just so heavy-handed to me that it kind of just turned me off. But the mystery was a saving grace. The artwork was a saving grace as well. Jim Valentino was the least lauded name out of your Liefeld, your Jim Lee, your Todd McFarlane. I mean, like, then it was like, oh, and by the way, Jim Valentino, which does not mean that man didn't have talent. You know, like, oh, Silvestri as well. Mark Silvestri did Wet Works.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, his was probably one of the lower tier names, but, like, you could tell that he poured his heart into it. And I did look up who Shadowhawk was, and I won't tell it because I can tell Jared's really intrigued about it, but I'm guaranteeing that it was an interesting development in how they came about revealing who the main person or who Shadowhawk was and his or her motivations. So kudos to him for even branching out on his own and trying something new, because that's the main thing that Image did that was, I think, the shock that the industry needed, because at the time it was Marvel, it was DC. And Marvel was kind of about to enter a stale time, you know, and DC wasn't that far off. You know, after they kind of languished a little bit after Nightfall and after Superman died in the early 90s. And Marvel kind of did the same thing. And Image came along and gave the comic industry a breath of fresh air. So Valentino gets a lot of credit for going out there and putting his name out there and doing something new.
Yeah, definitely. I think I'm just going to segue from what you were kind of saying there into my last, you know, recommendation. If you wanted to give this issue or this series, you know, it's a 4 miniseries. If you just did that, 4 miniseries on Shadowhawk, finding out the mystery of who Shadowhawk is I think they did a really good job of doing that. And that's what I remember the most about this is, you know, finding out who Shadowhawk is. Little quick spoiler, you get kind of close to it through 4 issues. You know, they want to hook you for the next 3 issues. But there's also some other things that happen along the way to Shadowhawk that makes it even more interesting. So there is, you know, it's just a buildup and a buildup on this character that I think Valentino did very well. And a snapshot in time into the 1992 with the early Image stuff going on here. You know, you want to see what the hype was all about. Go back and take a look at it. Some of that stuff isn't bad, or it makes you, you know, at least appreciate where they came from and watching them grow into the people in the company that it has turned into at this time. With that, that's going to wrap up the 12 days of Crusademus for 2023. Please let us know if you listened to all 12 Crusademus 2023 episodes by using the hashtag Crusademus Warrior. Delvin.
Hashtag Crusademus Warrior.
Jared.
Hashtag Crusademus Warrior.
Jason.
Hashtag Crusademus Warrior.
We'd love to hear from you if you're familiar with any of the comics we've covered here on the show, or if you give one of our recommendations a try. Let us know what you think. And you can do that by going out to Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, or all at Longbox Crusade, or send us an email at contact@longboxcrusade.com. Go ahead out there and make a comment. You're a warrior, Crusademus Warrior, or if you have a comment on these issues that we did. And if you're loving Crusademus, you know, it's the day after. What are you going to do after the day after Christmas? You got some time before New Year's rolls around. Why not just go back and listen to all the other Crusademus episodes that we have done way back in the feed? Just go back and go back. We've been doing this from 2017. We did it in 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022. Man, we have done this for quite a long time. So go back, enjoy it, listen to it. It's okay. You can listen to it in the summer as well, too.
Hey, Pat, I checked with Laurel, and yeah, she says that that is a lot of Crusademuses.
Thank you for checking with Laura. I'm glad she's responding to you, so, especially on Christmas Day. Wow. She's pretty quick on that. We'll see her. We'll talk to her a little bit more at the New Year's party down the road.
We're definitely going to be talking to her after the New Year's party. I can guarantee you that.
Well, yeah, we normally have, yeah, the debrief on, you know. We would also like to say thank you so much to our guests that stopped by the Longbox Crusade studio to hang out with us around the fireplace, sipping hot cocoa and talking about a favorite comic of theirs. We had Billy D, Van Plexico, Nick Jones, Luis Pachon, Dave Collins, Alan Wright, Jamie Ray, and Tony Pennington. Now, before we go, let's listen to some Christmas well wishes from the LBC crew, LBC family, and LBC friends.
Hello, Crusaders. This is friend of the network, Auburn Elvis. Over on the Spider-Man Chronicles, we've been counting karma based on Webhead's heroic actions as if he were being played in the 1984 Marvel superhero role-playing game. And this holiday season, instead of increasing my strength, I decided to use some of that karma in one of the other ways outlined in the game, gaining new superpowers. So I pulled out my copy of the Ultimate Powers book and I did some Crusademus shopping. That's right, these powers aren't for me. Oh no, they're my Crusademus gift to each of you. First up, John and Maggie of the Transformer Chronicles. For John, I got the power Matter Conversion Coloration. The description for this power is, the hero has total control over the coloration and color transmitting abilities of any target substance, whether solid, liquid, or gas. Now, the book actually apologizes for this power being kind of lame, but I bet John's going to do great with it anyway. Not only can he recolor any of the Transformer issues in his collection, but he can also use this power as a very fancy camouflage or even change the color of the air in the room. So if you're creative, you could really go crazy with this, John. For Maggie, I bought the superpower Communicate with Animals, which reads, the hero can understand and use the languages employed by animals or other non-sentient life forms. That's kind of bland, so to spice it up a bit, I'm going to add a limitation to this power so I can increase its range. So instead of every animal everywhere, it's only going to be horses. And that kind of limitation would let us jack up the range from any horse within earshot to any horse within 5 miles. Now, this is not telepathy, you still have to speak out loud, it's just that the horses can still somehow communicate with you. Maybe it's magic based or something like that, but anyway, just know that when you use it, people might think you're a little insane. The next gift is for Jim the Joe Junkie. He's got that new G.I. Joe Outpost show, so for you, Jim, I got the superpower Weapons Tinkering. The hero can devise and assemble any weapon that can be made with the available materials. So yeah, you're now a walking armory, Jim. You can just stroll into a Home Depot and come out as Destro. Red lasers, blue lasers, just whatever you need. Go nuts with it. Now over here, I've got a pair of gifts. This first one is for Rick, who is not Jeff. Rick and Jeff pop up in the old recordings of Rogue Agents, and Rick also has the Monday Movie Muckabout podcast. Rick, I got you Water Freedom, but I increased the power rank from a typical to excellent by limiting it to just mud or muck. And here's the description. The hero's body is adapted for movement in the water, or in this case, muck. The hero can move through muck with the same ease that normal beings move through air. And actually, since we've increased the power rank, you can go faster through muck than you could normally move through air. Now, I did not limit this power to only work on Mondays, because that would just be silly. I also got Jeff, not Rick, a gift. Jeff, I got you body armor, which is, the hero possesses artificially created armor that provides physical protection. So yeah, whenever you show up on rogue agents, it doesn't go so well for you, so I figured some typical strength body armor would be a good gift for you. Use it well. Okay, also, I have a present here for Alan J. Porter. In addition to being the go-to guest to add some culture to a Longbox show, Alan also has an incredibly informative Before They Were Beatles podcast. For you, Alan, I got the superpower Hypnotic Voice, which is, the hero possesses a voice whose intrinsic qualities permit a hypnotic domination of the target's conscious and subconscious thoughts. Now, this is only at the typical power level, so most people will be able to resist it if they try, but if someone is up for it, then you can put them into a sweet, sweet trance and have them do something like quit smoking or lose some weight. Now, the last present in my bag here is for Laurel Mountainflower. Laurel is the head of HR at Longbox Network, and for her, I got the superpower Astral Body. The hero can send her astral form into any designation. The physical body doesn't go anywhere, it remains in a comatose state until the astral body returns. Now, from the way that the guys talk about Laurel, she might already have this gift. I kind of hope not, but if she does, I don't know, maybe she can re-gift this next year. Now, I do have some other gifts for the rest of y'all. I could not bring them all in at once, so y'all just hang out. I'll be back later. I'm Auburn Elvis. Thank you very much.
Guys, guys, you won't believe this, but last night, before I went to bed, I was visited by the ghost of Pant Samson, and he told me that I needed to find the spirit of Crusademus in my heart. And then I was visited by the ghost of yard sale artists, the ghost of weasel skulls, and the ghost of dark webs. And I did find the spirit of Crusademus, but it all happened in one night. I haven't missed it. Crusademus is still here. So thank you so much for the gift of Crusademus to your podcast community every year. And Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays and a Happy New Year. Now, if only I can find a way to get rid of all this Taco Bell that I bought this morning. I was so giddy. I just said, here's 20 bucks. Buy all the Taco Bell you can. And it's like, oh, my house is full of Taco Bell. Oh, well, Crusademus.
Longbox crew, it's Serpy Matt. I just wanted to call and tell you guys to have a Merry Christmas to all my fellow listeners out there. I hope you guys also are having a great holiday season and just keep doing what you're doing. I really appreciate the fun and everything you bring to us. It is greatly appreciated. Have a Merry Christmas. Have a safe and healthy New Year. Thank you guys again.
It was Christmas Eve, and I was all settled down for a long winter's nap in my room at the Frenzy Motor Inn. It's clean, reasonably priced, mostly. I was doing my traditional three-day holiday creep, which mostly consists of hunkering down in the motel bar and imitating an expert on whatever topic happens to come up. Rich Little, eat your heart out. Sometime early in day two, Mama might be in her kerchief, but I needed a nightcap. Afterwards, I was carried to my room by a helpful fellow resident who felt I was in some distress, though I explained I was closely inspecting the craftsmanship of the parking lot asphalt. He helped get the pebbles out of my cheek and gave me some minor assistance to my room. For a second, I thought he was my old business partner, I lost him 7 years ago. He followed a dame down an alley and came out married on the other side. A couple of weeks later, she stabbed him to death. I visit her in prison sometimes. Nice lady. But no, this guy said his name was Delvin, and I believed him. He laughed and said something about eating, and if I didn't, I'd probably have bad dreams of ghosts or something. Maybe more than one. Maybe three. Okay, pal, I said, and waved him out of the room to begin my scientific comparison between the tensile properties of the motel pillow versus the recently inspected sidewalk. That data is still being compiled. After what was surely a restful night's sleep, I was interrupted by a loud bang. Delrog's prediction echoed in my ears. Was this the first ghost? My door burst open like a Christmas pit bull out of the presents box. It's a first for everyone involved. A guy bigger than me, and a face as red as... well, let's forget about that for now. Anyway, he stomped into my room and pointed a finger at me.
You and me were in the bar yesterday.
Oh, the ghost of Christmas creep passed, I presume. He grabbed a toy I got somewhere off the top of the clothes chest and shook it at me.
And you swiped my Sky Striker!
He stomped out of the room, but before he left, he turned and he said,
And don't think you'll get away with this just because we have the same birthday.
And just like that, he was gone. After entering what I can only understand as the deepest of sleeps, liminal sleep, Jameson poisoning sleep, I awoke to a firm but respectful knock at my door. Come in, I probably said. My door burst open like the first rays of summer sunbeams over the horizon. In walked a happy, jovial fellow, with a hop in his step and a smile in his voice.
Hey, I was just stopping by to see if you were interested in buying a copy of my self-published comic book, Hamilton vs. Burr, A Werewolf Tale. It takes the true historical account of Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr and adds a whole new level of excitement, danger, and supernatural.
F*** me, what's happening right now? I said, Ghost of Christmas Creep present, leave the curious documents on the table and take a few dollars for the widows and orphans or whatever. Just leave me in peace. He left the package on the table, and he also placed the Sherlock Holmes puzzle on top. And I heard him exclaim as he scampered out of sight,
Thanks for being a member of the Crusaders Club, and have a good night.
The visions presented by these two ghosts haunted me in my dreams. I returned to that liminal space. This is the third time. You know the story. You know how this works by now, right? Okay. Again, there was a terrible knock at my door. The door burst open like the Coke out of that 2-liter bottle after that nice old grandma dropped in some Mentos. That was funny. The door agape, I was confronted by a creature that filled me with great unease. Oh, third ghost of Christmas Creep future, although you are seemingly kind and friendly, and have no apparent military experience or fighting skills of any kind. I fear you most of all. Tell me, Great Spirit, tell me what my future will bring. The creature raised his hand and extended a finger, pointing out the door.
What are you talking about? It's me, Pat. You bought me a beer in the bar last night, and I thought I'd return the favor. Drinks on me. Merry Christmas.
And a Merry Christmas to you, Fell Demon, and all the Fell Demons. At the Long Box Crusade.
Achoo! Achoo! Achoo!
God bless us, everyone.
Hello, Crusaders. This is friend of the network, Auburn Elvis again. I'm back with more gifts. Earlier, I gave away some superpowers as presents that were based on the 1984 Marvel superhero role-playing game. We've been counting up so much karma on the Spider-Man Chronicles show that I had enough to get these Crusademus gifts. So let's start this collection of gifts with a present for Clinton Robinson. Clinton hosts the Fan Film Fridays podcast, and he pretty much lives down in the basement here at the LBC headquarters. Now, I worry about Clinton being down there because there might be radon or swamp gases or something. So for him, I got the superpower, Lung Adaptability. The hero can breathe any gaseous or liquid medium without harm. Okay, so now everything's fine, and we can all celebrate the holidays without any guilt from keeping a grown man locked down in the basement. And isn't that the true meaning of Crusademus? So this next gift I brought is for musical genius Joe November. Joe does pretty much all of the theme music for the various shows, and he also co-hosts the Comics to Console Crusade show as well. For Joe, I got the superpower Molecular Creation. Now, since I'm buying so many, most of the superpowers are at typical rank. But for Joe's gift, we want to add some limitations to this power, and that will let us increase its rank. So here's what Joe can do with Molecular Creation. The hero can form several elements simultaneously and form them into any desired compound. They can create in one turn a number of ounces equal to his power rank number. Okay, so typical strength power means that's 6 ounces. That's not very much. So, to make this more powerful, we're going to limit the matter that Joe creates to just being vegetables. That moves it 3 column ships up to remarkable, which is 30 ounces. And if we limit it even further and say that the type of vegetables is only beets, then Joe can create 50 ounces of beets in a single round. And considering that a normal beet is only 4 ounces, that's some pretty fat beets. Next, I have a gift for the MVP, the captivating Kathy Bright. Kathy does all kinds of things for the network. She's invaluable at trade shows, helps with editing, does the official holiday cards. She's also a regular sniper on Action Film Face Off, and she co-hosts the LBC Irregular Show. And it's her work there that inspired the superpower I got for her, Postcognition. The hero has the ability to see the past. The power requires the hero to have physical contact with the target whose history is being examined. The hero can mentally examine a person, item, or site and mentally relive a specific moment of history from the target's point of view. So while you can't see the future to prevent crimes, you can show up after a crime when everyone else is stumped and just touch a few things and know who done it, just like Sherlock Holmes, only with superpowers. Alright, just a few more presents here left. This one is for Jason Albrick. Jason is a regular on several LBC shows. For Jason, I got Power Duplication. The hero can use his power to duplicate the characteristics of any other power. The power ranks for the duplicated powers is equal to the duplication power's own rank. Now normally this would just be typical, which is not very good, so we're going to bump it up to good strength by adding a limitation that Jason can only duplicate the powers of an X-Men. So basically any power ever. But just know that if you were to duplicate Colossus's armored skin, it's maybe as strong as thick Mylar foil. Or you could duplicate Wolverine's healing factor. Now you would not heal broken bones like within a minute or so, but you wouldn't also heal them in about 6 weeks like a normal person. It would probably take you about 3 to 4 weeks, which is still not very bad, but of course you're going to have the power duplicated for that long. Anyway, have fun with it. Next, we have a gift for Delvin Williams. Delvin is a co-host on several shows like Transformer Chronicles, Come Out to Play the New Warriors podcast, etc. So for Delvin, I got the superpower Alter Ego, which is the hero has different forms. One is a normal, powerless being. The other is his powerful, heroic self. The statistics for the primary self should be fairly routine, but all bets are off for the heroic self. Now with this one, it was actually kind of cheap enough to buy a pack of 4, so Delvin, you can instantaneously switch forms between your Delvin self, your Dark Web form, your Silverhand forms, Pop Pop Hiss, and any other you might have. I think Chocolate Fountain was another one. That might just be an exotic film star, I don't know. Just use these any way you want, we're not going to judge you. We're almost done here, I promise. Here is my present for Jared Albrick. Jared hosts and co-hosts many of the LBC shows. He also manages video streaming stuff and all the prize packs and gifts to the listeners that are regularly given away. Now, before you open it, Jared, you can probably tell what it is from how it's wrapped. It's Mind Fights, or specifically, the power Mind Drain. The hero can deplete, negate, or even destroy a target's mental faculties. This alters the target's personality, memory, thought process, and any mental or psionic powers the target had. I know you don't like mind fights, but I was really running low on karma, and yeah, you get mind fights. But nothing says you have to use this power like they do in the comics. You could have cool mind fights if you want. Or maybe you could make them mind positives instead of fights, and you just sit there and beam positive positivity right into someone's brain whenever they need it. Or even if they don't. You just do you. Okay, this last gift is for Pat Sampson. Pat is the founder of the LBC Network. He started Crusaders Chronicles like 15, 20 years ago or something in a cave with a box of scraps. But then one by one, he brought in other people on board and he made the network what it is today. Pat co-hosts a ton of shows. He does a lot of work behind the scenes with scheduling or scheduling if Alan is involved. And for Pat, I got the superpower of linguistics. The hero has the ability to rapidly learn any language if sufficient material is available for him to work with. Now, I was running out of karma at this point, so you only get 6 extra languages that you can hold in your memory at any one time, and also they cannot be very complex. So if you try to learn an alien language, it's probably going to sound a little broken and like some of your phonics might not be correct. So basically your normal voice. But yeah, you can speak extra languages now. Enjoy. So I hope everyone enjoys their gifts.
Hey, Auburn Elvis, it looks like you have one more present there. Who's that for?
Oh, this? Well, I had some karma left over, so I got myself a superpower. And for myself, I chose the power of Troubleseeker. The description reads, the hero subconsciously detects a crisis somewhere within his range and automatically teleports to the vicinity. So yeah, Troubleseeker. That seemed like a good one for me. Alright, well, I hope everyone enjoys their gifts. You better, because you can't return them, so you're stuck with them. And with that, I'm Auburn Elvis. Thank you very much, and Merry Crusademus.
Hey, all, Clinton here, down in the basement. I finally managed to kind of claw my way over toward the podcast recording equipment. Full disclosure, I've kind of been buried underneath the old Crusademus decorations for like 3-4 weeks now. I don't know, time is meaningless down here. I'm hoping somebody will eventually come down to investigate that loud crash, but so far nobody has. I've mostly been surviving on old tinsel. I'm really hoping that was not metal shavings and asbestos, but you know, it sounds like there might be somebody. I hear footsteps.
What in tarnation? What happened down here? Huh. Goodness gracious, decorating. All the Christmas stuff is everywhere. God dang, look like a tornado came through here. Well, at least nobody was hurt.
Jared, wait. Dang it. Well, I guess I'll just take this opportunity to say Merry Crusademus, Happy Holidays to everyone from me, Fan Film Fridays, and the LBC crew all around.
So yeah, this is about the time that we're supposed to give our Christmas wishes and well-givings to everyone listening. I don't know what to say other than, I know last year I talked about a buddy of mine, Robert Wyatt, in gratitude. And I spent a lot of this year, not only in gratitude, but doing things to improve myself. You know, I just wanted to kind of see what the best version of myself is. And that's still a work in progress. I don't think that, you know, a 40-some-year-old man can just make complete wholesale improvements on his life inside of a year. But what I figured out is that, you know, that doesn't have to stop with a year. So that project is going to continue. What does that have to do with this? Well, I mean, I would like to think that a lot of the best part of myself has to do with the Long Box Crusade. I'm truly grateful to have the opportunity to have these conversations with my friends. I'm truly happy that this has found an audience with other people and that it's resonated and that people can come to this and kind of find a point of refuge from all the craziness and insanity that's going on in the real world. And I hope that it continues for the very foreseeable future, because I definitely see it as a part of what makes the best version of me, and I hope that it helps make the best version of you too. Merry Christmas to everyone listening to this, and I hope that your next year brings the best version, the most prosperous version of yourself that has ever existed, and that you take that light and spread it to the rest of the world.
Hey everybody, Weasel here, wishing you and your family and loved ones a happy holiday season. I just wanted to thank you all for another great year as we leave 2023. And we've all had adventures, joys, setbacks, ups, downs, and we're still standing at the end of 2023, and that's pretty great. And a lot of the ups we've had come from the laughs and the deep discussions we've had on comic books and action films and video games and all the stuff that we hold on to and cherish as we move through our 40s and 50s with this fervent desire to not give up that little middle school child that's in each of us. And we've always said on the Long Box Crusade since day one, when we first recorded our first episodes, which were so terrible, that we would do this no matter who listened, because it's really about us getting together as four friends and just sharing these memories and making memories. And you all came along, and you all listened, and you all continue to listen, and you show up on Sundays, and you send in comments to the show, and you like our show and subscribe to our show. And we just couldn't thank you. You're the best, and we love doing it. I've always said, you don't stop playing when you get old. You get old when you stop playing, and we're never going to stop. So we've got some more fun in store for 2024, and I'm looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to seeing you folks. And yeah, thank you. We love you. Happy holidays.
Hey, this is Jared Albrick, the Yard Sale Artist, a.k.a. Death Probe, and I just want to wish all of our listeners a very Merry Christmas, very happy holiday season. Thank you all so much for the support you give the show. You guys make it fun. You guys make it fun to do. So I hope you have all the best. We appreciate you spending the holidays with us. We appreciate you spending any time that you spend with the Long Box Crusade crew. We just are just so thankful to have you. So from Yard Sale Artist Headquarters, me, my family, I want to wish everybody a great, great happy holiday season and a most wonderful 2024. Thanks again for listening. Thanks to the supporters. Thanks to the Patreon members. Thanks to my co-hosts. Thanks to my fellow podcasters. Thanks, everybody. Have a great, great new year.
Hello everyone, this is Pat DJ Christatos, and I want to wish you and your family joy, love, and hope this holiday season. May you have found joy in listening to all the episodes the LBC crew and LBC family have made for this year. We also love the support you have given us over this year as well, from our Crusader Club members. To our listeners, we really do appreciate all that you have done for the Long Box Crusade. And personally, I have really appreciated all the support from the LBC family and crew for me and my family this year. I hope that this coming year brings you joy, love, and peace. Thank you all again for the support you provide the Long Box Crusade. It really means a lot to us. I wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thank you again for listening, everyone, and Merry Christmas. from the LBC crew here in the festively decorated Longbox Crusade Studios. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good read. DJ Christados. Hey, that's me. Play me one of my favorite Christmas jams. And we all say together,
liars. I got gifts but one subscribers. Thanks for the candy basket. Oh, got another jacket. My stocking's filled with acid. Am I dreaming? What just happened? Just a boy, Christmas brought so much joy. Couldn't wait for the presents and laughter. I couldn't sleep late at night, looking for Santa with lights. Those are the memories I still remember. Then I became a man, lost sight of who I am. But right in front of me was the joy, and I turn back to a boy. The answer is to stay young forever. This is not a Christmas. This is not a Christmas song. This is not a Christmas. This is not a Christmas song. This is not a Christmas. This is not a Christmas song. This is not a Christmas. This is not a Christmas song.
All songs, song clips, and characters discussed are copyright of their respective copyright holders, and no infringement is intended. We are just fans that like to share our love of comics.
Outtakes.
Oh, jokes.
Yeah. Yeah, get to the point.
These motherfuckers think they're funny. They're not funny. I'll go on mute. Creed is having a reunion tour next year. I will be going. It's going to be awesome. That'd be so great. Oh, sorry.
I love this. Creed. I like the first one, the second one. I haven't seen the third one.
The third one's pretty good. Different, kind of a little different direction, though.
Did they take it higher?
Ooh.
All right, I'll take it back over. Taking it back over.
I really did enjoy this one. One of its highs, one of its highest highs, is not Captain Carrot. And with that, I'll give it to Jason.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.